Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Tuesday, October 25th, 2022. Coming up this hour.
Stocks are steady as investors await an onslaught of big tech earnings.
UBS shares gained the most since June. We'll talk with the bank's CEO.
Rishi Sunak is set to become the UK's third prime minister in as many months.
And Adidas is said to cut ties with Kanye West.
An arrest and an attack in the New York subway system. Plus, it's debate night for Democratic Governor Hochul and a Republican challenger, Lee Zeldin. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. The Knicks beat Orlando. The Nets lost in Memphis. The Bears beat the Patriots in Monday Night Football.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
And good morning. I'm Karen Moscow.
I'm Nathan Hager. Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by SEI. Asset managers don't get results that are off the charts when their solutions are off the shelf. Learn how SEI's operating platform can turn infrastructure into a competitive advantage at seic.com/tech.
Well, U.S. futures are lower this morning, 6:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day. On Bloomberg, S&P futures down 16 points, Dow futures down 145, and NASDAQ futures down 27. The 10-year Treasury at 14/32nd, yield 4.18%. Yield on the 2-year, 4.47%. NYMEX crude oil is down 1.5% on $1.25 at $83.33 a barrel. COMEX gold down 0.6% or $9.90 at $16.44.20 an ounce, and the euro 0.9865 against the dollar. Nathan.
Well, Karen, stocks are coming off two straight days of gains. Yesterday saw a broad-based rally with more than 80% of stocks in the S&P 500 index closing higher. Earnings optimism and speculation the Fed will slow its pace of interest rate hikes helped fuel the 1.2% gain. Ben Kirby's co-head of investments at Thornburg Investment Management.
You know, when you look at the surveys of bulls versus bears, there's way more bears than there have been in a long time relative to bulls. So that at least augurs, I think, for the potential for a snapback. How sustainable that is as the economy slows, again, that's kind of the big question.
Thornburg Investment Management's Ben Kirby thinks we are nearing the peak for interest rates.
In Asia, Nathan, it was a volatile session following yesterday's historic sell-off. A benchmark tech index in Hong Kong bounced between gains and losses and eventually closed up more than 1% today. That index plunged more than 7% yesterday on the prospects of more market-unfriendly policies during President Xi Jinping's third term.
While President Xi stacks China's top post with allies, Karen, White House advisors are working on a meeting between the communist leader and President Biden. Amy Morris has details from our Bloomberg 99.1 newsroom in Washington.
State Department spokesman Ned Price says Xi's move, effectively tearing down divisions between party and state, won't change the U.S. approach to China, a strategy that includes competing on security matters while cooperating where they can on global issues like climate change, global health, and counter-narcotics. National Security Council spokesman John Kirby says they're working on a possible meeting at the G20 in Bali next month, even as there are fewer voices at the top to question Xi's more restrictive policies. In Washington, I'm Amy Morris, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Amy, thanks. Well, in Europe today, Rishi Sunak is set to become the UK's third prime minister in as many months. And we go to London and get the very latest with Bloomberg's Ewan Potts. Good morning, Ewan.
Good morning, Karen and Nathan. It's just 7 weeks since Liz Truss traveled to meet Queen Elizabeth to become prime minister. Later today, the UK will have another new leader. Former Chancellor Rishi Sunak will meet King Charles this morning after winning the support of Conservative lawmakers. His first task as Britain's new prime minister will be to appoint his top team. As he seeks to reassure nervous investors, Jeremy Hunt is likely to remain as Chancellor in charge of the nation's finances. In London, I'm Ewan Potts, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Ewan, thank you. Let's get back to markets now, where it is a busy day for earnings. Shares of HSBC are down more than 7%. The bank reported higher than expected charges for possible loan losses in its third quarter. HSBC did join other banks in posting profits that beat estimates, but its loan loss provision was almost a third higher than a Bloomberg compiled consensus.
On the flip side, shares of UBS are up more than 4%. The Swiss bank reported better-than-expected profit in the third quarter as higher interest rates helped offset lower client activity. We caught up with UBS CEO Ralph Hommers.
We see volatility in the foreign exchange markets, where we profited a lot actually this quarter, mm-hmm. but you also see that volatility leading to further uncertainty with our investors, with our clients, right, on the wealth side. And that uncertainty is actually translated into the need for further guidance. So 90% of our clients are indicating we need more guidance.
UBS CEO Ralph Hamers made the comments in an interview with Bloomberg's Manus Krani. Hear more of that conversation coming up shortly right here on Bloomberg Daybreak.
Back here in the U.S., Karen, a busy week for tech earnings kicks off this afternoon with both Alphabet and Microsoft reporting. We get a preview on Microsoft from Bloomberg's Jeff Bellinger.
Bloomberg Intelligence says the software giant could potentially surpass the 2024 consensus for sales growth. Microsoft is seen as the company that stands to benefit the most from the growing digital shift as clients upgrade their technology. But the company's earnings come at a time when there is foreign exchange pressure and there are concerns about weakness in its PC business. Microsoft is in the process of laying off about 1,000 workers across multiple divisions. Jeff Bellinger, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Jeff, thanks. In other corporate news this morning, it looks like Adidas is cutting ties with Kanye West. We get the details from Bloomberg's Lisa Mateo.
Bloomberg News has learned the German sports company plans to end its partnership with the rapper and designer following a rash of offensive behavior. West, who now goes by Ye, has made controversial statements, including anti-Semitic social media posts in recent weeks. The Adidas decision follows weeks of deliberations inside the company, which over the past decade has built the Yeezy line, together with Ye, into a brand that's accounted for as much as 8% of Adidas' total sales, according to several estimates from Wall Street analysts. Adidas would join Gap and Kering's Balenciaga fashion label in prematurely cutting ties with West. Lisa Mateo, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Lisa, thanks. And shares of Adidas are falling on the news of its breakup with Kanye West. Shares are down almost 4% in Frankfurt.
And we're watching earnings cross the Bloomberg terminal, Karen, from UPS. They've come in with adjusted earnings per share for the third quarter that beat the average analyst estimate. Right now, the shares are a little changed in early trading. S&P futures are down 13 points, Dow futures down 118, and NASDAQ futures are lower by 20 points. Straight ahead, your latest local headlines and a check of sports. This is Bloomberg. And it's now 6:07 on Wall Street. We're at 63 degrees in Central Park. Got a crash on the LIE eastbound at exit 42. Details coming up in traffic. First, Michael Barr's here with what else is going on in New York and around the world. Michael.
Thank you very much, Nathan. A man is in custody in New York City for last week's violent and unprovoked attack on a subway rider. 41-year-old Lamai McCray, who police say has an extensive criminal history, is now accused of shoving 32-year-old David Martin onto the train tracks at a Brooklyn subway stop last Friday. Martin suffered a broken collarbone. Meanwhile, commuters are now searching out places along railings on the platform where they feel they can't be assaulted.
We're afraid that someone will come up and sneak up behind us and bump us or push us.
The MTA is now also trying to gain the authority to ban people with convictions that include violent crime underground from using the subway system. There was a tragic accident in the subway in Manhattan. Authorities say a commuter was struck and killed by a one train at 59th Street Columbus Circle yesterday afternoon after getting caught in the doors. It is debate night between New York Democratic Governor Kathy Hochul and her Republican challenger Lee Zeldin. The two are expected to debate such topics as crime and the state's bail reform laws. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis and former Governor Charlie Crist debated ahead of next month's election. Crist asked DeSantis about a possible run for governor in 2024 and asked him to commit to a full term as governor if he wins.
You're running for governor. Why don't you look in the eyes of the people of the state of Florida and say to them, if you're reelected, you will serve a full four-year term as governor. Yes or no?
Governor DeSantis defended laws passed during his term that restricted the teaching of racial and gender issues in Florida schools.
I'm proud of our history. I don't want to teach kids to hate our country. I don't want to teach kids to hate each other. And the way to stop discrimination on the basis of race is to stop discriminating on the basis of race.
The debate airing on WPEC. Character actor Leslie Jordan, who appeared on dozens of TV shows, has died. Jordan, who was 4'11", got his big break on the comedy show Murphy Brown. Jordan also played Beverly Leslie on the show Will and Grace.
Aaron, this may come as a great shock to you, but I'm a homosexual.
Leslie Jordan, who died in a car accident, was 67. Global News 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts, more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Thanks, Michael. Coming up to 6:10 on Wall Street, time for the Bloomberg Sports Update, brought to you by Tri-State Audi with John Stanshaw.
All right, Nathan, the Jets 7-1-4 in a row, perhaps tuned into the Monday night game to watch the Patriots. Two of the next Jets three games are versus New England, who got surprisingly blown out at home by Chicago, 33-14. The Bears scored the last 23 points. They outrushed the Pats 243-70. They forced four turnovers. Mac Jones returned from his ankle injury but got benched for rookie Bailey Zappe. And Bill Belichick said he's not sure who his quarterback will be this Sunday at MetLife. That Jet win in Denver was costly. Rookie running back Breeze Hall tore his ACL. Guard Elijah Vera Tucker tore his triceps, and both are done for the year. Jets coach is Robert Saleh.
You know, it's the NFL, it's next man up. Michael Carter has proven that he can carry the load, and Ty Johnson has done a really nice job. And with our offensive line, we've been, you know, it's been a all year with guys shuffling, and just got a lot of faith in the guys that are here to be able to step in and continue to do the job that was done before them.
And the Jets last night made a trade to get a running back. They sent a late round draft pick to acquire James Robinson from Jacksonville. That's where the Giants just won their fourth in a row, but they saw three offensive starters go down. Knee injuries to guard Ben Bredesen and rookie tackle Evan Neal. An eye injury to rookie tight end Daniel Bellinger. None will play this week in Seattle, but all could be back later in the season. At the Garden, Knicks beat Orlando 115-102. Julius Randle 25 points. Jalen Brunson had 21 and R.J. Barrett 20. In Memphis, 37 points for both Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving, but 38 for both Ja Morant and Desmond Bane. And the Grizzlies beat the Nets 134-124. The Devils lost to Washington 6-3. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
Thanks, John. S&P futures down 14 points. Dow futures down 131. NASDAQ futures lower by 22 points. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg Sports was brought to you by Audi. Don't let someone else drive off in the Audi model you've always wanted. Visit your local Tri-State Audi dealer to get behind the wheel of yours today, or visit AudiOffers.com for more information.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. This update's brought to you by BNY Mellon's Pershing. Learn why the world's most sophisticated wealth management and institutional firms rely on Pershing to help them improve profitability, create efficiency, attract talent, and manage risk at Pershing.com. We continue to watch shares at UPS. They're up about 0.3% this morning after third quarter profit beat analyst estimates. U.S. stock index futures, meanwhile, are falling on another busy day for corporate earnings. S&P futures are down about 17 points, Dow futures down 152, NASDAQ futures down 30, 10-year Treasury up 15 32nds, yield 4.17%, the yield on the 2-year 4.47%. NYMEX crude oil is down 1.5%, down $1.29 at $83.27 a barrel, the euro 0.9867 against the dollar. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, thank you very much. Rishi Sunak is due to be installed as Britain's third prime minister of the year by King Charles III, and then his first task is appointing a cabinet that can wrestle with the UK's economic and political crisis. Sunak was selected as leader of the governing Conservative Party after the brief term of Liz Truss. Six Palestinians were killed in the West Bank overnight, and more than 30 were injured as an Israeli military operation targets a local militia that has carried out attacks. In the NBA, the Knicks won, the Nets and Celtics lost. In hockey, the Capitals beat the Devils 6-3. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Michael, thanks. 6:19 now on Wall Street. Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak. We want to bring you back now to our interview with the CEO of UBS, Ralph Hamers. He spoke with Bloomberg's Manus Cranny after the Swiss bank beat third quarter earnings estimates. Along with talking about the results, they discussed the outlook for U.S. rates, why UBS is committed to the U.K., and investing in China.
One of the things that you hung your hat on, and we chatted about it, was your Wealthfront deal. That deal has now gone away, collapsed, whatever word we choose. What the market wants to know was, did you pull the plug on that? Did the chairman pull the plug on that? Or did the deal have fractures?
Well, I think a change in tactics is absolutely not a change in strategy. And I think that's the important message for our plans if it comes to U.S. growth in the U.S. market. Mm-hmm. In the U.S. market, we're, as you know, we are heavily invested. It's a very important part of our strategy to grow there in the three different segments and personas that we see. The core segment is personally advised. That's where we do most of our business. We need to support our FAs with further digital support, the way their workstations work, the banking products. As you know, we also launched further improvement of banking products there, and you see that coming through also this quarter. Then on the more family offices side, more bespoke solutions. And then where we're also looking at is the kind of the lower wealth band, as we would call it, where we also have 2 million of workplace wealth clients, and see how we can improve the digital experience there with remote advice.
But you as CEO, are you still behind this strategy that you want to do a deal to take yourself up and over in that space in the United States of America? Is that still core to your belief? Manus, I want to do a deal. I want to grow that portion of the business that I went after at the start of the year.
Well, the strategy was never to do a deal. The strategy was always to grow organically. And the opportunities that you can look at in terms of accelerating your organic plans, whether it is getting more technology on board, like what this transaction was about, or getting more exposure to a specific clientele, which, you know, you could see also for future deals. But it's not like we're looking and on the hunt for deals. We are really focused on our organic growth strategy in the U.S.
We talk about volatility. There has been huge volatility in China. The stories that we're writing is that Xi's grab for power causes foreigners to flee. Has there been a material shift by your clients? Deleveraging, I know, is part of the story in Asia. But talk to me about China in terms of your biggest fear around this grab for power by Xi.
Well, clearly, Asia and China have some kind of a connection there, right? So from that perspective, indeed, part of the deleveraging is to be explained by how the markets in Asia have performed. Having said that, you know, Manus, we have been investing in China for decades, and we are the go-to bank on the investment banking side for China. And our clients rely on that. And even this quarter, we saw good business. We were involved in 3 out of the 4 IPOs in Hong Kong, the largest IPO in Hong Kong as well. So equity capital markets were back number one in the region. The China connected business. Now on the other side, with the confirmation of Xi to take another term, clearly we have to look at, you know, whether some of his policies that he already kind of issued last year, whether they will continue, like the common prosperity policy, which is an important one in order to have a more equal divide of wealth across the different classes. And that does provide us with an opportunity to develop further asset management and wealth management services at a capital light way.
We're in London. It's a sort of a different setting for both of us to do the set of numbers. Chaos in politics, chaos in currency, chaos in the UK. I like the word chaos. Are you committed to the UK?
We are committed to the UK. We're today here in the UK. We have a large office here in the UK. We run our investment banking activities from the UK. London is still a big talent pool for the financial world, so that's important as well. And I do think that with, you know, the new prime minister coming on board, that this will be a starting point for more predictability, more consistency, and with that, more stability.
What does it take to get global investors' confidence back in Britain?
Exactly this. More predictability, more consistency, and with that, more stability. Making sure that you find the right balance between fiscal stimulus, capping energy prices, and your central bank trying to fight inflation. I think that should all be in sync. And I think that's what the market is looking for.
That's UBS CEO Ralph Hommer speaking with Bloomberg's Manus Cranny. Catch the full conversation on Bloomberg.com and on the Bloomberg terminal. UBS shares right now are up 4.5% in Zurich. Watching earnings from General Electric cross the Bloomberg terminal. Third quarter adjusted earnings per share came out much lower than analyst estimates, and the company's also lowering its outlook for the year. GE shares are now are down 7.3% in the pre-market. S&P futures are down 16 points. Dow futures down 145, and NASDAQ futures are lower by 24 points. 10-year Treasury is up 16/32, yield 4.17%. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg 1130 weather. Mostly cloudy, patchy drizzle and fog. Chance for a shower this afternoon with a high near 70 degrees. A few more showers possible tomorrow, high near 70. Sunshine Thursday, but cooler. Highs in the upper 60s. Right now, 63 degrees.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130. To Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 991. To Boston, Bloomberg 1061. To San Francisco, Bloomberg 960. To the country, Sirius XM Channel 119. And around the globe, the Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It's 6:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and we're just about 3 hours away from the open of U.S. trading. Time for the five things you need to know to start your day. Brought to you by Interactive Brokers. IBKR Investment Advisors switch to Interactive Brokers for lowest cost global trading and turnkey custody solutions. No ticket charges and no conflicts of your interests at IBKR.com/RIA. Up first, futures are lower following two straight days of gains. Steady earnings and hope for slowing rate hikes help fuel the rally. Robert Stimson, Chief Investment Officer with Oak Associate Funds, says recession or not, traders should expect choppiness ahead.
A recession doesn't matter for stocks. They simply do not like a slowing economy, and that is what we have. So whether it's a mid-cycle slowdown or a soft landing or a recession, stocks tend to struggle when the economy is slowing, and that's the environment we're in. So the last week may have been better, but we do think it's going to be well into next year before stocks get further signals that a sustained advance is really possible.
Robert Stimson with Oak Associate Funds believes stocks have not bottomed just yet.
Over in Europe, Karen, Rishi Sunak is set to become the UK's third prime minister in as many months. Sunak is set to speak in just a couple of minutes. Stick with us. We will bring you those comments live right here on Bloomberg Radio and on Bloomberg Television.
Well, to earnings now, Nathan. Shares of HSBC are down more than 7% in London. That's after the bank reported higher than expected charges for possible loan losses.
On the flip side, Karen, sorry about that. Shares of UBS are up nearly 5%. The Swiss bank reported better than expected profit. We spoke with UBS CEO Ralph Hommers about the results, plus about volatility in foreign exchange.
You also see that volatility leading to further uncertainty. And that uncertainty is actually translated into the need for further guidance. So 90% of our clients are indicating we need more guidance. And if they want more guidance, that's why they bring their money to us. And that's why we saw the positive flow so strongly coming into our franchise this quarter.
UBS CEO Ralph Hommers spoke with Bloomberg's Manus Cranny. He says he sees more clients sitting on the sidelines in the current climate.
And Nathan, back here in the U.S., GE shares are now down more than 3%. Earnings missed analyst estimates, and the company cut its full-year forecast.
Finally, Karen, we have a high-profile breakup this morning. Adidas plans to end its partnership with Ye, the man formerly known as Kanye West. Move follows a rash of offensive behavior that includes anti-Semitic social media posts.
And that's the five things you need to know to start your day, brought to you by Interactive Brokers. Well, futures, they're falling this morning. S&P futures down 14 points, Dow futures down 135, and NASDAQ futures are down 19. The DAX in Germany is down 0.8%, CAC in Paris up 0.3%, and the FTSE 100 down 0.6%. The Nikkei 225 in Japan gained 1%, and the Hang Seng in Hong Kong down 0.1%. 10-year Treasury up up 16 30 seconds, yield 4.17%. Yield on the two-year, 4.46%. NYMEX crude oil's falling, down 1.3% on $1.07 at $83.51 a barrel. COMEX gold is down 0.7% or $10.80 at $16.43.40 an ounce. The euro, 0.9864 against the dollar. British pound, 1.1329. And the yen at 148.93. Looking at Bitcoin this morning, it's down 0.5%. It's at $19,280. Nathan.
Okay, Karen, thank you. It is now 6:34 on Wall Street as we await the first remarks from Rishi Sunak as the newest Prime Minister of the United Kingdom. Let's bring in Michael Barr for a look at what else is going on around the world this morning. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. As you mentioned, Rishi Sunak will give his first speech as UK Prime Minister in a few minutes. The person he replaced, Liz Truss, only lasted 44 days in office. Today, Truss said it was an honor to serve as Prime Minister and wish Sunak well.
Our country continues to battle through a storm. But I believe in Britain. I believe in the British people. And I know that brighter days lie ahead.
Truss's stint as Prime Minister was the shortest in UK history. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis declined to say whether he'll run for president as Democratic challenger Charlie Crist accused him of being too distracted by a bid for the White House in 2024. And as for immigrants, Crist accused DeSantis of misusing public money to fly asylum seekers from Texas to Martha's Vineyard earlier this year.
You want to pull political stunts like you did with the taxpayers' dollars of the people of Florida. That's not what it's for. That's not what you should have done. It isn't funny. It's not right. And you were inhumane in how you treated these people.
In Florida's first and only re-election debate, DeSantis said Crist's support for President Joe Biden 100% of the time meant that he should share the blame for the worst inflation in 40 years in the U.S.
Why are fuel and natural gas prices up? Because of the Biden-Crist energy policies. They're waging war on American energy. They are not producing what we need to do. They're begging Maduro and OPEC for more oil.
The debate was aired on WPEC. It is debate night in New York between Democratic Governor Kathy Hochul and her Republican challenger, Lee Zeldin. The two are expected to debate such topics as crime and the state's bail reform laws. A man is in custody in New York City for last week's violent and unprovoked attack on a subway rider. The attack prompted the NYPD to step up its presence at subway stations. The U.S. is making more charges that China's espionage into U.S. business is growing. Bloomberg's Ed Baxter has the story.
The DOJ unsealed two more charges claiming Chinese intelligence officers tried to obstruct the criminal investigation of the Huawei technologies. And FBI Director Christopher Wray says that is basically the tip of the iceberg.
And frankly, in thousands of others, we've found the Chinese government threatening established democratic norms and the rule of law as they work to undermine U.S. economic security and fundamental human rights.
Ray says so far, charges against 13 working for China's intelligence service. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Today, a Russian court started hearing American basketball star Brittany Griner's appeal against her 9-year prison sentence for drug possession. Griner, an 8-time All-Star center for the WNBA's Phoenix Mercury and a 2-time Olympic gold medalist, was arrested in February and was convicted in August after police said they found vape canisters containing cannabis oil in her luggage at Moscow's airport. In the NBA, the Knicks won, the Nets and Celtics lost. In hockey, the Capitals beat the Devils 6-3. Monday Night Football, the Patriots lost to the Chicago Bears. Global news, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Okay, Michael, thank you. It is now 6:37 on Wall Street. Let's take a look at stocks, some of the names moving in the pre-market while we await the new Prime Minister of the UK, Rishi Sunak. We can see the podium set up outside number 10 Downing Street. He's due to make his first remarks as the latest Prime Minister of the UK in just a few minutes. But ahead of that, we're joined now by Bloomberg Radio and TV markets correspondent Kriti Gupta on another very busy morning for general earnings. Kriti.
Yeah, well, speaking of General, we'll start with General Motors here. GM is your ticker. They just came out with some earnings. Now, the shares did pop about 3% pre-market. It looks like they pared some of that gain down to about 0.8%, but still positive post-earnings story. Now, this is significant. They are beating on the top line, but a narrow margin, I should say. Those shares, the adjusted EPS, I should say, up $2.25. I don't know what's going on this morning.
It's
the
all
estimate
right.
there is $1.89. What's interesting to me, though, is they also said that they cleared out about 75% of their second quarter inventory. They're also talking about ramping up some of that EV production as soon as November 17th. We know that has been a major motive for GM and some of the other car makers to get on the EV production far more quickly so that they are not squeezed out of the market completely. And we also know that some of the supply chain issues have been making that very, very challenging. Nevertheless, at this moment, it looks like General Motors, their net sales and revenue coming in just about in line with estimates. I wouldn't call it a major beat, but the EPS is really where the stock is shining just a little bit, Nathan. So General Motors, GM, up about 1.3%.
Okay, so that's one General company. Let's talk about the other one, General Electric.
General Electric. The opposite story for General Electric here.
Yeah.
GE is your ticker, down 3.3% in the pre-market. Now, this is important because they had a profit miss, but a revenue and free cash flow beat. So what the issue is, once again, operating margin. You aren't seeing that kind of turnover that you are perhaps seeing in General Motors. Nevertheless, that's what's weighing on the shares this morning. So General Electric, GE, down 3.3%. But Nathan, it's not just those companies you have to keep an eye on. Remember yesterday when we were talking about China?
Oh, yeah.
Those massive moves lower in
sure.
some of those ADRs. Well, today, a little bit of a turnaround story. Alibaba is our poster child for that. BABA is the ticker, up 1.5% in the pre-market. You're also looking at the likes of JD, for example, which is also up in the pre-market to tune of 2.8%. But put this into context. Remember, yesterday we had moves of somewhere between 12 to 17% in some of these ADRs. So a lot of this is really just a technical bounce as opposed to a fundamental shift in the narrative. And I think that's an important takeaway.
Yeah, certainly going to be a region to watch as we try to sort out what exactly the changes that are coming with Chinese President Xi Jinping getting that third term and consolidating power there. But let's turn back to earnings because we've got a lot to get through in terms of what's been reported, what's going to be reported.
Well, absolutely. Let's start off with another company, which I think maybe you might appreciate. Are you a grill man, Nathan?
Can be.
Can be.
In the right weather.
Fair enough. I can't cook to save my life about a 50% burn rate on an omelet. But Weber is a company a lot of people are watching on. This is, of course, the maker of grills. I was told there's a green egg.
Certainly, you know, working alongside Jeremy Hunt potentially as chancellor.
What's the difficulty for Rishi Sunak to bring his party together, given that, you know, he's been through a leadership contest before and has been rejected at least once before?
Well, that's the thing. And he is untested in the true public space because, like Liz Truss, he's come to power without any sort of broader public mandate. I mean, Liz Truss at least had the endorsement of the Tory party membership. Sunak doesn't even have that. So the question is on what basis can he govern and say that he's representing the British people? And that could be a challenge for him because there is a question of, is he really acting with a mandate? Of course, the Tories can't afford to go to an election anytime soon because they're dragging very badly in the polls. And the idea would simply be to get on until the next election is due in a couple of years and sort of stem the bleeding in the meantime. So he's got that challenge. But also, given the extent of the divisions we've seen in public display in the Tory party and this, basically coalitions within one party and factions within one party, it's going to be a real challenge to keep a lid on that. He might want to look, of course, to the experience of Australia in that regard, because Australia cycled through a lot of leaders in the 2000s, and that didn't really end very well. So perhaps there'll be a motivation to really kind of try and cut it here at this point.
And we're watching the motorcade live on Bloomberg Television as Rishi Sunak makes his way to number 10 Downing Street following that meeting with King Charles III, formally asked to form just the latest government in the UK. So with that motorcade making its way to number 10, we should be getting those comments from Prime Minister Sunak in just the next couple of minutes here. In the meantime, Roslyn Matheson, Bloomberg News Senior Executive Editor for International Government, What's the challenge for Sunak just to form a government? I mean, we've had a couple of former Prime Minister Liz Truss's cabinet ministers have to resign with various scandals. We had former Prime Minister Boris Johnson very briefly put himself up for leadership before backing off a couple of days later. But, I mean, there's a lot of fractiousness just within Conservative members themselves, whether Prime Minister Sunak might have a talent pool to draw on to form a government.
Well, that's right. And equally, he needs to sort of bring a mixture to cabinet potentially of not just those who supported him in his leadership efforts, both with Liz Truss and now, but those who perhaps worked against him. Because if you're truly trying to bring unity back to the party, then that has to include in the tent those who perhaps have opposed him or who stood against him even. And so it'll be interesting to see how he manages that mix, because he does need to have allies and also potentially enemies working with him, as you say, to have that talent pool and also to stop them potentially working against him. So that's going to be the interesting thing to see in the lineup. And it looks like Rishi Sunak is pulling up now, so we may hear from him imminently on what that lineup's going to look like.
And while we wait for those comments, Roz, in the few seconds perhaps that we have left here, what are some of the main points you're going to be listening for from Prime Minister Sunak's comments? What are some of the unanswered questions that still need to be answered? We're taking you now to Prime Minister Sunak. He's just begun his remarks now from number 10 Downing Street. Let's bring you over to number 10 and Prime Minister Rishi Sunak.
And accepted His Majesty the King's invitation to form a government in his name. It is only right to explain why I'm standing here as your new Prime Minister. Right now, our country is facing a profound economic crisis. The aftermath of COVID still lingers. Putin's war in Ukraine has destabilized energy markets and supply chains the world over. I want to pay tribute to my predecessor, Liz Truss. She was not wrong to want to improve growth in this country. It is a noble aim, and I admired her restlessness to create change. But some mistakes were made, not born of ill will or bad intentions, quite the opposite, in fact, but mistakes nonetheless. And I have been elected as leader of my party and your Prime Minister in part to fix them. And that work begins immediately. I will place economic stability and confidence at the heart of this government's agenda. This will mean difficult decisions to come. But you saw me during COVID doing everything I could to protect people and businesses with schemes like furlough. There are always limits, more so now than ever. But I promise you this, I will bring that same compassion to the challenges we face today. The government I lead will not leave the next generation, your children and grandchildren, with a debt to settle that we were too weak to pay ourselves. I will unite our country, not with words, but with action. I will work day in and day out to deliver for you. This government will have integrity, professionalism, and accountability at every level. Trust is earned, and I will earn yours. I will always be grateful to Boris Johnson for his incredible achievements as Prime Minister, and I treasure his warmth and generosity of spirit. And I know he would agree that the mandate my party earned in 2019 is not the sole property of any one individual. It is a mandate that belongs to and unites all of us. And the heart of that mandate is our manifesto. I will deliver on its promise. A stronger NHS, better schools, safer streets, control of our borders, protecting our environment, supporting our armed forces, levelling up and building an economy that embraces the opportunities of Brexit, where businesses invest, innovate, and create jobs. I understand how difficult this moment is. After the billions of pounds it cost us to combat COVID, after all the dislocation that caused, in the midst of a terrible war that must be seen successfully to its conclusions, I fully appreciate how hard things are. And I understand too that I have work to do to restore trust after all that has happened. All I can say is that I am not daunted. I know the high office I have accepted, and I hope to live up to its demands. But when the opportunity to serve comes along, you cannot question the moment, only your willingness. So I stand here before you, ready to lead our country into the future, to put your needs above politics, to reach out and build a government that represents the very best traditions of my party. Together, we can achieve incredible things. We will create a future worthy of the sacrifices so many have made, and fill tomorrow and every day thereafter with hope. Thank you.
Rishi Sunak, the British Prime Minister there, the message pretty simple. Difficult decisions to come for the UK economy. Mistakes have been made. I'm here to fix them. From New York City for our audience worldwide on TV and radio, this is Bloomberg Surveillance with Tom Keane and Lisa Abramovich. I'm Jonathan Ferro. TK, pretty blunt and to the point there. Tough decisions to come.
Carefully worded, I thought, you know, moving from the past to the very recent present. Twitter lit up as some of these phrases were mentioned. But I do think, John, for many people, this is the first time they've heard the Prime Minister speak.
Working to restore trust, Lisa, quote, after all that has happened.
Trying to ride on some of the goodwill that he built over the COVID era and how much they did extend some of the aid to individuals, including the furlough program. How far does that get this administration at a time of potential austerity in the face of higher heating bills and just all in higher costs?
Didn't use the word austerity,
no,
but it's there in the message, isn't it?
it is.
We will not leave it to the next generation with debt to settle. Ultimately, Lisa, they're going to go hard.
And this is the difficult thing. How do you affect an economy and optimism at a time when that's going to mean some serious declines in the economic output of this nation? Some people talking about this is the world's sixth biggest economy for now. We have heard that from economists. Well, how do you project a feeling of strength into the future?
Lizzie Burden outside number 10 Downing Street. Let's head over to Lizzie now. Lizzie, you followed that address by the British Prime Minister that went on for several minutes or so. Talk to us about the reaction in the UK so far.
Well, the reaction behind the black door was raucous applause. Really, Rishi Sunak was trying to push hard on the reset button there. He did pay tribute to Boris Johnson and Liz.